ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
We've got the show's namesake, BJ Shea.
Hey.
And running the boards is Joey Dees.
Hi.
Hello. On today's show, we will talk, well, comic books, because BJ has some comic books he needs to review.
Comic books.
We've got some television. Normally, we save that for other days, but there's so much going on with some finales and maybe a couple shows that maybe need a second season, and we'll see whether or not BJ agrees on that.
Okay.
We've got some various comic book movie and... Yeah, comic book and comic book movie news. Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. You Thank don't, you. But I do.
I barely do, so yes, congratulations to me on that. And of course, also the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have all our blogs, podcasts, and more. Or just BJ Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, radio.com, and iTunes.
And since it is comic book day, BJ, let's start off with some comic books.
Well,
I know you've been reading a bunch of them.
All right, if you really want me to. Carnage is back. There's a whole Absolute Carnage sort of storyline going on all over Marvel, and it's bleeding into, as it were, into Spider-Man. I'm not reading all the Absolute Carnage because, frankly, they will give you a sort of like a here previously.
Yeah.
So
that kind of helps on that.
Yeah, and I spend a lot on comics, and I don't want to get to where I was when I was in my 20s, and I have to stop.
Yeah, you got to spend money on your board game Kickstarters, as we talked about last episode.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a good one as Spidey's got to protect young Dylan Brock as well as young Normie Osborn, and all this time Spidey thinks that oh my gosh, Carnage is basically Norman Osborn because Norman was the Red Goblin not too long ago.
Oh yeah.
So we just assume it looks like Carnage is trying to gather all of himself, like everybody Carnage has been in has left a little piece of himself.
Yeah.
And wants to basically get it all back and turn it into like Carnage is everywhere. So it's like Carnage everywhere, and if you ever had a piece of him, all of a sudden you can become Carnage.
Oh, wow.
So Carnage is out of control.
It's like an agent in the Matrix.
Yeah, and so here is, you know, Peter Parker like fighting, going, listen, Norman, you can try to kick my ass, I'm tired of it. And then finally Carnage goes, oh, you're so funny, you think I'm Norman. I'm not Norman. And then finally at the end they go, it's actually Harry Osborn, his best friend buddy.
Oh, dang!
Who he's trying to protect Harry's little son, Normie. Harry normally is a good dude who's actually like just swears off his dad and forgets that he was the goblin, and so he's been a really cool guy, but yeah, Carnage makes you just do bad things.
And yeah, that's the one thing with Carnage as the symbiote is that the fact that like Venom has at least some sort of like chaotic morality to him and that he can come back and forth. Carnage is his name. Like he's just out there to wreak havoc.
It's fun to see Ryan Ottley do Carnage because, you know, Ryan Ottley is famous for Invincible for just making so many of the most bloody fight scenes you'll ever see in comics. I mean, seriously, those Invincible fight scenes were just they were epic. And so Carnage is that kind of character, and even the cover it just has Carnage is like bleeding everywhere, even though it just seems like Carnage looks like he's just bleeding from everywhere.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, he's
horrifying, actually.
Yeah, and that is Ryan Ottley's style, and so it's really great. And of course, typical Ryan Ottley, you know, the superhero character, his mask has to be half ripped off, bleeding from every bloody nose and mouth, and that's what's going on with Peter Parker. And that's just the cover.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's Spider-Man 30, man.
What else do you got?
Dude, I have to tell you, this Fantastic Four situation is so awesome. There's a whole new storyline called Point of Origin, which, of course, when you think about the origin of Marvel Comics, it started with the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
So how about Dan Slott takes us back to the beginning? But what he does is that he has Reed rebuild the ship that they took off in. And we get
the original ship.
And he also gives us some backstory that we never got, but makes a little bit more sense as to, you know, we're really Sue and Johnny supposed to pilot that ship with Ben and Reed. Because, I mean, Reed was the scientist. Ben was a pilot.
Yeah.
Sue and Johnny were kids, basically. They were teenagers.
Yeah. Why are they on there?
Yes. And we come to meet the two pilots that were supposed to take that position. But Reed did kidnap the ship in the night because he thought they were going to cancel it, or maybe the Russians were. I forget exactly why he had to basically go earlier than he was supposed to. supposed to. And they show Johnny training in this. And so they give us a little bit more backstory to fill in some of the blanks as to how it could happen. But they basically recreate this. They decide for, on this big anniversary, for they go, you know what? We're going to build the ship the same way, just like it was. We want to go back and do the same flight because it never got completed.
Oh.
They were supposed to go to Alpha Centauri. It never happened.
Was this Reed's like plan? Because he seems the kind of guy that like needs to have that completion.
Does need to do it.
It's like, this quest has not been checked off. I need to do this.
So they even built the ship to look exactly like the other one. And of course, they're all like, why are we building this tube that's a piece of crap? We have so much better technology. And of course, Ben's not going, I'm not going to go. This is BS. And so then they really, then Ben sees who they're going to pilot the ship. And he goes, this is ridiculous. I can't let that guy pilot the ship. So he goes in there and he notices, hey, I guess I'll go along. And of course, Alicia knew he was going to go along, so she hears your lunch. She's packing him his lunch as That's he's adorable. Talking about how he's not going to go. And then he's on the ship, and he goes, are you guys okay with me not going? Reed goes, yeah, don't worry about it. We're not worried about it. He goes, but I don't trust it. And then all of a sudden, Ben goes, hey, that's a pretty big chair. Only one person can sit in a chair that large. Did you know I was always going to go? And Reed and smiles and goes,
Well, of course.
But here's the cool thing. The cool thing is they never completed their mission because they got hit with the cosmic rays and crash-landed back on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
They were supposed to complete their mission, and then they take you to the other side with a whole new group of superheroes and a whole new realm and a whole new part of space that back in 1961 these people were prepared for an invasion that never happened.
Whoa.
An invasion from the Four. They just kept calling them the Four, and they go, it never came
at that point, were they?
And so these, now all of a sudden you get to see this whole new planet go, there are rumors that the Four are actually coming again.
Wow.
And so I love the idea that, oh wow, they were going to be invaders that never happened, and then this whole super team getting ready for the arrival of the Four invaders. And that's, this has been a fun point of origin story arc, which I, you know, I really love it. It's like, it really is this amazing Imaginot kind of thing, which is what the Fantastic Four are. They're not superheroes, they're Imaginauts. They just go to all places with their special powers and explore strange new worlds, go where no one is, you know. I'm loving it. Dan Slott's bringing me back to the old good old Stan Lee days, if you ask me.
Man, that's amazing.
Yeah,
like I just love the fact that, like, when you're talking about Fantastic Four, really it shows you going back into being a kid again.
Yes.
Like, it's just the memories and all of that.
And Dan is really doing me justice. He's doing me well, man. He knows. And so it's a really cool storyline as the Fantastic Four actually were they supposed to be invaders. I love that. Like, they were the bad guys at least coming through. And I won't spoil it, but it's kind of fun to see how as they land and they're the bad guys. Oh, and the translator's not working, so they're trying to explain themselves, but nobody on this planet can understand them.
Oh, that's awkward.
As they're basically kicking the Fantastic Four's ass. Very, very cool. And I like this new group of heroes. Makes me think, I wonder if they're going to do a book of these new guys. Who
knows? I mean, if they're popular enough, so let Mr. Slott know how well you like them.
I like them.
Moving on from that, we need to talk some television. And first, I think we should go with a finale. Now, you've talked about this show over the course of many episodes. Killjoys. Now,
Killjoys!
Is it the series finale for Killjoys?
Yeah, and look, I'm way late on this. This happened a while ago.
Oh. I mean, you can still talk about it.
Yeah, it was a show that started in the summer and wrapped up, I think, in August. But again, I'm so bloody behind on everything that, you know, that it's just how it is. But yes, Killjoys did finally have its series finale. 5 years, which I think, thank you, sci-fi. I mean,
actually completing.
Yeah. You can't ask for a better way to complete it. I think these guys knew they were going to complete. Unfortunately, unlike Into the Badlands, where we all knew it was the final season, but I don't think the people who were doing Into the Badlands knew it was the final season when that was announced because the way that ended.
Yeah.
Killjoys, it ended in a way that they could actually do more seasons if they wanted to, but they definitely resolved this massive story arc, which I think was really good. I will tell you this about Killjoys. It's got 5 seasons, and they're usually like between 10 and 12 episode seasons.
All right.
This is a fun show. Aaron Ashmore is in there, and he's, I don't know if he was Iceman or if he was on, Building 13.
Because they're twins.
Yeah. So he's one of the Ashmore twins. I don't know if he's Iceman or if he's the other Ashmore. But he's been great in this. And, of course, Hannah John Common, who is, you remember her as Ghost in the Ant-Man and Wasp movie.
Oh, yeah.
And Hannah John Common's great in this episode. She's really, really good.
And he wasn't in X-Men. He wasn't Iceman.
So Aaron was, yeah. I wonder if he was building 13. Wasn't building 13
he was
that
on
great
Veronica
site?
Mars.
Warehouse 13? That's it. Thank you. Warehouse 13.
Ah, okay.
Regression, the thaw.
Was he ever in Warehouse 13?
And he was.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
He's been in a lot of stuff. Lots of stuff. Smallville.
I knew that one Ashmore was on one of those, and one Ashmore was Iceman.
He was Jimmy Olsen in Smallville.
Oh, there you go.
Interesting.
Yeah. He's great in this. Hannah John and Luke McFarlane is great in this. And I want to, you know, there's great characters in this, and it's fun. You're not going to get a massive amount of depth. The special effects are good. There's a lot of action, great humor, lots of bad swear words, which, you know, you find yourself enjoying every episode, and it's a story arc thing. And it was a very satisfying series finale for me. I really, really liked it. I'm going to miss these characters. And you, as the characters are saying in their way, saying goodbye to each other in their own way, because they're all sort of doing whatever they're going to do after they beat the big bad guy, which, by the way, much love to Alana Bale, who played the human embodiment of this creature called the Lady. She did such a good job. This young actor, I want to see more of what she does, because she was so good as this evil creature who didn't understand human emotions, but because she was in a human body, started feeling human emotions. She did a great job what is this I'm feeling and what's happening? And it ended up being her undoing. If she just stayed as basically alien creature lady, she probably would have been fine. Really awesome story arc. Really good story arc, including a father-daughter type relationship thing that started at the beginning of the series, had a nice resolution at the end of the series. I like it a lot. So this is a show that's going to be available somewhere. I don't know if it's Amazon Prime or if it's Netflix or if Sci-Fi will let you watch all five seasons. But if you're looking for a bingeable show that's science fiction, that's got a lot of fun in space, this is a good show, and you'll enjoy it, in great humor and good send-off with the last episode, which was called The Last Dance. And well done to all the folks that made Killjoys happen, including Michelle Lavretta, who created this. Thank you, Michelle. This was a fun 5 years of my life. Thank you.
Wow. That's amazing. Another show that you've been watching, and you watched the first season of this, was Woo Assassins.
Ooh,
and looking Assassins. At all of this, it seems that a lot of people, including most of the actors, I've been reading some articles, that all of them want a season two,
yeah.
But it has not been confirmed yet, and a lot of people are saying we really need to see this and really need to have this come out, and it's on Netflix,
yes,
so you can watch it. And you were the one who told me about this, and it looks really interesting. Like, tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, Woo Assassins. It's a great show. It's got martial arts at its theme, and also, if you will, I don't know if it's Chinese. I'm not sure exactly what history it is from Asian culture, but the idea that there are these bad guys who are embodied by the five elements. Five elements. I'll count it out. There's metal. There's wood. There's water. There's earth. There's fire.
Yeah, that's five.
That's five.
Mm-hmm.
So these elements.
Wait, there's no love?
No, yeah. That's Captain Planet,
heart.
And that's heart.
Well, there's the fifth element.
Fifth element.
She's thinking,
oh, yeah,
too.
That's right,
yeah.
Too. Dang it, there's so many five elements.
Yeah.
Yeah, guess what? We both nerded out each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this year.
Out-nerd each other didn't work.
Yeah. I've never heard of this guy. I think it's Iko Uwais, and I don't know if I'm saying his name right. Iko is your protagonist. He is just this guy who is a chef and has just had a hard knocks life. He's got an uncle named Uncle Six, who's a father figure to him, and they're estranged. Uncle Six is in charge of a very bad, syndicate group, but he has a lot of love for Iko, and we don't exactly know why until you advance into the series. But the idea is, it's one of those, I don't want anything to do with you. Don't give me your ill-gotten money. I'll make my own way. Trouble is, he's not making his own way very well.
Whoops.
Yeah, and he wants to open his own food truck.
Yes,
which I think is adorable. I saw the first episode.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Well, that first episode really catches you, because if you watch the first episode and by the end of how it goes, if you're not like, what is happening here? He has one of the greatest lines ever, which really got me going. And basically, he kicks ass because there's a reason why all of a sudden he's going to be a kick-ass guy. He can fight anyway, but he then becomes a super fighter for some reason, because all of these elemental energies inhabit human beings, and the human beings they inhabit are not nice people. Mm-hmm. And so it's like they need to be assassinated, and they're called Wu. So all these energies, like the metal, the fire, They're all called Wu, and the Wu need to be assassinated, which means there needs to be a Wu assassin. And of course, it's some poor schmuck who goes, I don't want to do this. And it's like, too late. You're already the guy. And it's so great when he basically does his fighting. The cool thing about his ability is when he fights, all of the other Wu assassins that came before him, and this has been going on for thousands of years, they help him, including when he fights.
Wow.
He ends up not him. The enemies see somebody else. They don't. So his identity is protected because
wow, that's kind of cool.
So it's, that's why it's funny. It's because he's kicking ass and nobody knows who this guy is. He doesn't realize that they're not seeing him. And so when they go, "Who are you?" He goes, "I'm just a chef."
And they're like, "You're a liar."
It's like, you're not just a chef. I found it very good. The way it finished is why I want another season, because the finishing was a little bit like, wow, this is a little weird. I didn't expect these characters to do what they did. Spoiler alert, a very beloved actress from a very beloved show shows up late in this series, and can I tell you, I just screamed with joy. Like,
really?
Oh my god, that's her!
It wasn't the coffee talking, you were just really legit excited.
Look, I want it to be a surprise, but people, let's just think of the most beloved sci-fi show you can think of, and one of the most beloved characters from this sci-fi show, and seeing this beloved character be as cool and as amazing in this particular show, it was awesome.
Nice surprise. This is based in Chinatown in San Francisco, and it's based off of they get entangled with a Chinese triad.
Yes.
Triad's pursuit of a deadly ancient power. So it's all kind of based in the Chinese culture.
Yeah, and that's and it's well done, and I'm trying to think of the guy's name, if I can look at his name, because he's from Tommy Flanagan, which we all love from Sons of Anarchy. He's in this as well.
Yeah.
And
he's amazing.
He's got a decent character. Everybody's so good in this. I really, really enjoy it. It's on Netflix, Wu Assassins, and of course you can watch it anytime because Netflix keeps everything.
And I love that it's a mostly Asian cast.
Yeah.
And it's all these actors like I've never heard of. So I think that's really awesome when it comes to representation.
Well, definitely Byron Mann I've heard of. You'll mm-hmm. recognize Byron Mann, who plays Uncle Six. And I recognized him. I also recognized Louis Tan, who plays Lu Jin Li, who's also there's a group of four people. It's the chef, and it's a brother-sister, brother who's a mess, sister who runs a restaurant, and then Lu Jin, they all hung out together as younger guys. And now they're involved in this ridiculousness,
and
all four of them.
Louis Tan was in Deadpool 2.
There you go.
Oh, really? Which character?
What was his name?
Was he
very fancy? He was one of the ones that got recruited.
Oh, Shatterstar?
I think so.
Yeah, the alien who exploded in green blood. Yeah, I was so excited when Shatterstar was in the movie, and then he died.
Yeah.
I like to think that Deadpool fixed the timeline.
Well, he didn't fix that one. He just saved his buddy.
Well, I'm hoping.
Oh, yeah, you can keep hoping. Moving on.
I want more invisible Brad Pitt.
There you go. No, I don't think he made it. Going to some comic book movie news.
Yes.
Now, I did buy Avengers Infinity War, and I bought Avengers Endgame because I needed those. But now,
the comics or the movies?
The movies.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about the movies. They have now already. Oh my goodness.
What are they done?
They have announced that they're going to be doing the entire Infinity Saga box set.
Okay.
All 23 films in the Infinity Saga.
You knew this was going to happen.
I knew it was going to happen.
Okay, 23 now, films. I'm trying to think how much it's going to cost.
Exactly. So we're going to do it Price is Right style. So that means it's going to be the closest without going over.
Okay, so 23 films. And what else isn't included?
Okay, so here's what we're going to have on that. So it's going to have all 23 films.
Uh-huh.
In addition, you will receive each film in both 4K, Ultra HD, and Blu-ray, a letter from Kevin Feige, a Matt Ferguson lithograph, and a special bonus disc with deleted and extended scenes. And it will be limited edition and numbered to remind you of how exclusive this is.
Yeah.
Just in time for Christmas, November 14th is when they're dropping it.
Wow.
Now, starting with Vicky, how much do you think that this is going to run?
I don't want to go over because my first thought was 1,000.
Yeah.
Just because of how many movies in the 4K. I'm just going to go down to like $750.
BJ Shea.
How many editions? How many of it?
It's 23 films.
The limited edition, like they said, amount of copies?
They didn't say exactly limited. How many. They're just saying that it's limited.
God, 23 films. But you know now, I mean, they sell films for like $3. I mean, really.
The first one's probably, yeah.
Yeah, so.
But remember, Ultra 4K HD.
Yeah.
And Blu-ray.
Wonder how much that really costs them to do, because they gotta keep this at a price point where somebody will actually buy it.
Nerd. But also, it's a collector's edition.
That's why I want to know how many there were. That would affect the price, but it's not telling me how many there are.
Mm-hmm.
If it's limited edition, let's say they make, 10,000 of them?
Maybe? I don't even know.
I think that's a fair enough for me to get it if I want. Oh, God. I mean, yeah, because that's not very limited.
And the number
10,000.
Is? Yes.
All right. I'm going to go with $599.
$599.
I want to go $499.
$499. Joey, don't say a dollar.
$499. And Joey D's.
$349.
$349. The winner is BJ Shea.
Woo!
And it is because you changed your answer.
Yes.
Because it is going for $549.99.
Yeah, I thought that $599 was too high.
Yeah.
I just was thinking the price point was
too
high.
Well, it's still $550 plus tax. So, I mean, you get all with that in there. And yeah.
Wow.
I don't say that I don't want it, but I also don't want to pay for it.
I mean, if somebody gave it to me, I'm not going to be upset.
Right. Yeah, that's going
to
be a gift.
Yeah, this needs to be a gift. So if you've got like a rich uncle or aunt, this might be the one, you know, the old Uncle Pennybags there, or maybe the old Uncle BJ.
I really don't want Thor 2. I really don't want that. Not really wanting Iron Man 2
either.
There's
a couple clunkers in the middle of those.
Yeah.
There needs to be like a section in like a movie, you know, store of some sorts. You know, like if you go into certain grocery stores, you can build your own six pack of beers.
Oh yeah.
You should build your own
build your own Infinity Saga.
Right.
And to have this, this is going to be one of those things, and as a dumb collector as myself, if I were to get this, I don't think I'd open it. Which,
that's the problem.
And that's the whole thing. It's like, what am I going to do? It's going to be a $550 paperweight. Because it's like something like this, and it looks nice. Like, you can look on it online. It looks great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of the problem there.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have to open it, because if you have like any sort of video service where you store your movies, you could get all of that like by just entering in the code, and then everything is digital. Well, but the trouble is you have to open it to get that code.
But then also the same problem with that is, what happens if the internet crashes and we get a worldwide EMP and suddenly you can't... Well, then you couldn't see it.
Yeah, it's Dark Angel. It's The Matrix. It's an EMP. You know, just Alba will save us.
Here's the thing, though. With any Disney-type movie, we're going to eventually get all these movies anyways on the Disney streaming service.
Oh, right. That's a really good point. And I'm absolutely getting Disney Plus in November.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
We must discuss this, you and me.
Yeah. Do we?
Well, maybe because we share certain accounts.
Oh, yeah. A little quid pro quo on that
I'm thinking that, you know what, though? I think I may stop that because, I mean, you get Hulu and that together, and I figure, all right, I might as well go back to Hulu again.
Whoa.
If you get everything, so I won't be stealing your account anymore.
All right, then.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, stop messing up my list. He uses the mine on rest.
That's right.
We don't. No. We would never do that.
Never.
I didn't want to create another name. I didn't want to alert to Hulu that maybe there's even more people using this.
See, this is going to be hilarious because it does. It tailors what you have. So I have a Vicky segment on there, which I normally just would assume would be cartoons, whether it be dirty or not, because some of them are kind of interesting.
I watch Archer a lot.
Yeah,
Bob's Burgers, Rick and Morty.
Yeah, so a lot of those. So actually, it's a conglomeration of BJ and Vicky. I just wonder what
there's only two shows that I'm watching. Mm-hmm. Actually, one show that she doesn't watch, and that's Handmaid's Tale, because we both watch Runaways.
And that's on my list. It's just it's kind of a bummer. So I need to get in the right
hand. Oh yeah, it's a real bummer.
I haven't even got. That's another show. I haven't even finished their latest season because you watch it and you're like, it's just like, you know, it's like the Joker. It's like Joker's a great movie, but how many times can I watch this? Because it's just not a happy world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and Handmaid's Tale is like that too. It's just like, oh my God, poor Offred or Off Robert, whatever the heck her new name is.
Oh, she got a new name? Sorry, we didn't talk about Handmaid's Tale.
But yeah, it's just like her life is so miserable. You're just like, man. All righty.
Speaking of another television show in the comic book world, BJ, that you're going to need to watch.
Yes.
October 20th, so in less than a week, we're going to be getting on HBO.
Oh, right.
Watchmen.
Oh, there's so, yes. See, there's,
yes.
Emergence doesn't have a chance.
No, unfortunately,
it really doesn't.
Man. Yeah, sorry, bro.
I mean, because Batwoman's a brand new DC. I got to check it out at least to see how it is. And it's getting good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes from critics, though Vicky tells me the users aren't liking Batwoman. How am I going to fit Watchmen in? And how am I going to get The Flash in?
Well, here's the beauty of
Crisis
Watchmen.
On Infant's Earth.
Infant's
right.
Earth.
Everybody's a baby on the Earth.
All the babies.
Yeah.
The Watchmen on HBO is only going to be 9 episodes.
Oh, that's helpful.
Nice. And it's going to be a single season story. Oh. So it's going to be encapsulated in that season.
Anthology.
Yes. And Damon Lindelof, which is the showrunner. Whoa. You've heard him doing many things.
Yeah, including that show you really all love the ending of, Lost.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny because he was at New York City Comic Con talking about what was going on with this and talked about how it will be its own inclusive story on this. It'll be fun to see where it is going, because one of the key points in this show that it made it really interesting for me is that they've turned Rorschach and his whole movement into, it's been really perverted from the original cause for it, and so a lot of people have been taking up the mantle as a Rorschach to harass and kill
humans,
people.
Humans do this, really?
Yeah, right.
They pervert some great thing and do something horrible.
No. And another thing I thought was interesting is that there's no social media in this. So you won't have that social media influence that is really kind of plaguing, you know, humanity at this point in time.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And so it'll be kind of interesting to see where they go with this. And like I said, it will be happening, and I think it's weekly in terms of, you know, an episode coming out for each week for the next 9 weeks, starting on October 20th. I'm really stoked for it because, well, it looks like the Big Blue Man's coming back as well. Like there were some
hints
and no naked blue butts or anything like that. But
really?
There were some hints to seeing maybe.
Didn't we talk about Sausage Party just in the last episode? Really? We're going to talk about Blue Sausage Party now?
Let's not.
I got to interject something real quick because my dad has not stopped bothering me about Los Puercos en el Espacio, Pigs in Space. That's what he calls Lost in Space. Because the old Muppet sketch. That's
yeah,
what
when is that
it.
Coming back?
So space. New York City Comic Con, they had teased on Twitter, like, oh, we got more information coming at New York City Comic Con. And they have announced when season 2 is going to drop.
And?
December 24th.
Christmas Eve.
Oh, that is a great Christmas present.
Yes.
Oh, look at that. BJ gets his Christmas present. And
there's
really,
a new trailer out, too.
You really did love the reboot of Lost in Space.
Oh, I think they did a great job with that. And the fact that Vicky's dad and Vicky love it because there are characters they can relate to, because Major West is Hispanic in the show.
And it's also, my dad grew up watching it, too, back in the day, but in Mexico and in Spanish, which I think is funny.
Which is really funny, because people complained. I remember there were, you know how people go, why do they got to change the genders and change the whatever, and they were all mad about Major West.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to these idiots going, you realize Guy Williams, who played Professor Robinson in the Wheel of Wind, was Hispanic. Do you understand that? He played Zorro. The guy's real name isn't Guy Williams. It's probably a name that's more reflective of his culture, you half a moron. So there really was a Hispanic guy in the original Lost in Space, you idiot.
That's funny.
Yeah, and it's, also, even though you talked about New York City Comic Con, even though we won't mention it quickly, the new Picard trailer, fantastic.
Yes.
I'm also so stoked for the Star Trek Discovery Season 3 trailer.
Oh, yeah. A lot of that stuff going on with
Picard's
that.
Because Picard's happening in January. Don't know when they're going to release. I would imagine Discovery's going to follow the Picard season. I would just imagine that.
Yeah, and we go a little bit more in-depth with Gareth on that as well. But, yeah, I wanted to get your take on that because you get to see fat Jonathan Frakes.
Yeah.
Looking a little more Orson Welles than Riker at that point.
Yeah, and at least, and he's older. And, and Picard does look even more frail than we remember.
That's one thing I noticed as well.
Even though he's in great shape for his age, but he's an older man. I mean, he is he was since he's in his 70s, Patrick Stewart. So I'm excited. And even Commander Data put on some weight.
how does an android put on weight?
Luckily, the gold and white makeup help a little bit, but they're older. I mean, what are you going to do?
They had to add a bunch of more wires. So
Electronics.
But it looks beautiful.
The android dad bod.
It definitely looks they're giving the same kind of love to the special effects and the setting as they have Discovery, which I'm so happy as a Star Trek fan that they're putting this much into the show. It looks so beautiful. I'm excited.
I love it. And if you guys are excited about anything, let us know, especially the new shows that are coming up or the ones that have just started again. BJGeekNation@gmail.com or any of those ways to follow us on the social media to give us that information. But now it is time to get to
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Vicky, what do you got?
So I was scouring the internet for memes, and I actually found...
Of course.
Wait a minute. That seems unusual.
Mm-hmm. I was on the Imgur.
Yep.
And I came across this whole list someone did. It was some Disney thoughts. They're kind of like shower thoughts, but all retaining to Disney movies.
Oh, okay.
For example, from Snow White's perceptive, the older peddler woman, the one that gives her the apple, which was actually the evil queen in disguise. Spoiler alert.
Wait a minute.
She gave her an apple and told her to make a wish. Next thing she knows, the prince is there to take her away, and she is surrounded by her friends rejoicing. So the witch didn't lie.
Oh, you know what?
Technically.
And for her, she got a good nap, got some rest in. And of course, for everyone else, it's like a very sad thing, and they have to go on a quest to essentially save her. It's what she doesn't know.
She woke up. What was in that apple?
That being said, though, the prince, actually kisses the corpse of a minor he just saw.
Well,
so that's kind of.
Was she really a corpse? And
Well, and if the queen in Snow White has magic powers and can turn herself into an old hag, then why doesn't she just turn herself into something more beautiful than Snow White?
Maybe she can only go one way. Wait, no, because she went back. I don't know.
Anywho.
Yeah.
But here's an interesting thought, and I don't know if this applies anymore because we have one good queen. 100% of Disney queens are evil. Therefore, all Disney princesses are closeted psychopaths.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
I mean, Elsa is the only one that was good.
Yeah.
Elsa.
Cinderella's dress must have been very revealing if the prince looked at her all evening without being able to remember her face.
Oof. Maybe he just loves feet. Maybe she's Quentin Tarantino.
Or
he's Quentin Tarantino.
Ooh.
Yeah.
If Pinocchio's nose grows whenever he pronounces a false statement, it would make a marvelous tool for science, and Pinocchio could test any hypothesis easily and instantly.
Huh.
See?
Wow.
But there's some people that have argued. I've seen this argument online. It's like he can only tell his truth.
If he knows he's lying, his nose will be there. Right. That's the idea of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's the thing.
That's a weird paradox with that.
Yeah, if you're not aware that you're lying, then you're not lying.
Right.
It's only the awareness of lying makes the nose grow. And so
I think they call it the Pinocchio paradox or something like that.
Oh, wow.
In The Little Mermaid, has everyone seen The Little Mermaid? Or probably seen there's a part where Eric and the Little Mermaid are on a boat. And all the fish are singing "Kiss the Girl." So in The Little Mermaid, Prince Eric can't speak to the animals like Ariel can. So "Kiss the Girl" must have been a very troubling 2 minutes for him. Just all these fishes.
They're hunting me.
here's an interesting one. The Little Mermaid must have crapped her pants at least once on her first day as human.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, didn't they have like bathrooms under the sea? Or is it just the sea?
They go.
I don't know.
Ursula probably did Ariel a favor by taking her voice because Eric would have thought she was nuts talking about dinglehoppers and snarfblats.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Beauty and the Beast 2 should just be 90 minutes of Belle and the Prince shopping for new furniture after all of it got turned back into people.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Oh.
And here's a really big problem. The teacup son is named Chip based off of the little the chip on him. What happens when he turns back into a human? Does he still have like a piece of his skull missing?
There's an artist, Adam Ellis. He's done stuff for BuzzFeed. He drew a comic just that. And
that's
his brain's
horrifying.
Exposed.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
It's funny.
Yeah, that's not good.
Well, I'll post these on you guys so you can read the rest. And until next time, stay nerdy.